The World Economic Forum opens in Davos today with good news about growth, and cocoa farmers in Ivory Coast are smuggling their crops across the border for better prices.
The cost of living is expensive, and that's why we're sending our cocoa to Ghana. We're being forced to defraud the state.
This is the Marketplace Morning Report, live from the BBC World Service. I'm Anu Anand. Good morning. This week, India's Prime Minister delivers the keynote address to the World Economic Forum in Davos, and President Trump will finish the week with his address on Friday. The BBC's economics editor Kamal Ahmed sets the stage for us as the great and the good converge at the Swiss resort.
I've been coming to Davos now for nearly 10 years, and this is certainly the first time since the financial crisis that there has been global growth across all the major drivers of growth. So that's Japan, China, emerging markets, North America, and the European continent. The one outlier in that, according at least to the International Monetary Fund, is Britain. By the time it comes to its forecast for 2019, the IMF actually downgrades Britain's growth prospects. As far as that organisation is concerned, at least Brexit uncertainty still weighing on the UK. But that to one side, this is the first time there has been this, what's called the grand synchronization. This growth, some of it being driven by the American tax cuts, the stimulus that President Trump has put in place in America, but also this big global trend of the growth of the middle classes, the growth of consumption. Finally, there is a cyclical upswing. The overarching risk is complacency. We've seen the markets hit many, many record highs. We have this idea that growth is hiding some of these big structural problems. And these big structural problems are things like inequality, inequality within countries, inequality between generations. Here, there's a big push on gender equality. Just 21% of the delegates here are women. Now, that's a record high, but still a remarkably low number. And there's real worries that although there is global growth, it is not global growth that is being shared in a way that many people think it should be. And people look at the events here and the big dinners and the glamour, and they wonder whether capitalism is really working for them. But really, the big issue will be here is looking towards the end of the week and the arrival of President Trump, the first serving president to visit Davos since President Clinton in the year 2000. What tone will he set? Will he be combative about the way America is leading the world and you should all get on the way that we're operating and not worry so much about global trade? Or will he be more conciliatory? Now, that'll be the really interesting part of this whole event.
Kamal Ahmed in Davos. Let's do the numbers. Japan's Nikkei jumped 307 points or 1.29% after the Bank of Japan kept rates and inflation expectations steady. It's a sign of progress after the bank previously expected inflation to weaken. Whirlpool says it'll hire more staff after President Trump announced that he wants high tariffs on washing machine imports. Now, South Korea, which competes with U.S. firms, called the tariffs excessive, and it's vowed to complain to the World Trade Organization. Now, bite into your favorite chocolate, and chances are the cocoa beans came from Ivory Coast in West Africa. It exports more cocoa than any other country. But cocoa farmers there are struggling for survival, as the BBC's Tamazin Ford reports from Abenguru, close to the Ghanaian border.
I'm on the cocoa plantation of a 50-year-old farmer. He wants to remain anonymous, so we're calling him Christoph. I'm just walking through the cocoa trees now. You can hear the crunching of the leaves underneath my feet. He's told me 2017 was the hardest year of his life, and it's all because of the price of cocoa. And that's why, he says, he's had no choice but to smuggle his cocoa across the border to Ghana. Christoph breaks open a cocoa pod, revealing the sweet white fruit inside. Last April, the government slashed cocoa prices from more than $2 a kilogram to $1.30. Almost a year on, many are fighting to survive.
We have to send our children to school. The books are expensive. The cost of living is expensive. And that's why we're sending our cocoa to Ghana. We're being forced to defraud the state.
Christoph has four children. He comes from a cocoa farming family and has been a cocoa farmer all his life. The problem is, while cocoa prices fell in Ivory Coast, they remained the same in Ghana. Farmers are being offered up to 30% more for their beans from buyers across the border.
We don't have a choice. If the price was good, like Ghana, we wouldn't smuggle our beans across the border.
Mehmet Isserin Day is a cocoa economist.
The solution will be first to have a kind of harmonized commercial strategy between those two countries, because none of them is winning in this game. This year it might be Ghana, next year it might be Cote d'Ivoire. Those two countries represent at least 60% of the global production.
The other problem is the global price of cocoa. That has dropped dramatically. So the Ivorian government says it's forced to keep the farmer price low. Meanwhile, Ghana says it won't put the problem onto their farmers. Instead, it's their cocoa board that now has debts of more than $2 billion. Farmers have their eyes on April, when the government traditionally announces a new cocoa price. They're terrified it's going to drop even further. If it does, it could bring an end to many of these cocoa communities. In Abanguru in Ivory Coast, I'm the BBC's Tamsin Ford for Marketplace.
Finally, two ordinary words are causing a digital space crunch in India, where millions are online for the first time. Good morning texts, accompanied by pictures of roses, babies, and upbeat phrases like the ones that flood my phone every morning first thing, are commonly sent to friends and loved ones, and they're straining bandwidth right across mobile networks. I won't text you, but good morning anyway. I'm Anu Anand with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.